Blog Talk Radio. Welcome. I'm Miss Paralegal, here to talk to you about a talk show on blogtalkradio.com, the next phase with Ice and Friends. Tune in each Thursday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and 5 p.m. Pacific. A full hour and a half of politics and everything that concerns your community. The comments, guests, and actions of this show has nothing to do with blogtalkradio.com or its sponsors. This commercial has been sponsored by The Next Phase with Ice and Friends.
Good evening. Welcome to The Next Phase with Ice and Friends, heard Thursday, 7 until 8:30 p.m. Central Standard Time, 5 until 6:30 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and 8 until 9:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We always like to offer this brief disclaimer in the beginning of the show. Any comments and or opinions you hear on this show do not necessarily represent the views and or opinions of the hosts, sponsors, or Blog Talk Radio. Our brief description of the show is, this show addresses community concerns in regard to designing ways members in communities can increase their abilities to acquire more income. In addition to that, methods to address increasing political strength and impact will also be featured. Financial enhancement, increasing political strength and impact, improving possibilities for combining efforts with others who have similar interests. All these and more poignant concerns will be approached in an entertaining format. There will be musical segments, interesting guests, as well as questions and comments from our listening audience. If you have any interest in improving situations for our youth, such as STEM and incarceration estimates for minority members of the society or any members for the society, reassessing the significance of spiritual impact, investigating the best possible means of boosting knowledge for improving your health, as well as many pertinent topics too numerous to include in this introduction, just join us as we seek truth on The Next Phase with Ice and Friends. Call us at 347-945-7040. That's 347-945-7040. Or you can email us at blakicz.1@gmail.com. Email at blakicz.1@gmail.com. We highly recommend that you consult professionals in the fields we refer to on this show. The information you hear on this show is meant to be a catalyst to encourage individuals to research topics that they find interesting.
Hey, I want to say good evening to you, 714. Sorry I'm late, but at least I'm here, and I want to welcome a guest. I think that I have Ms. Vina Clay. Are you there, Vina?
Hello, can you hear me?
Thank you, Vina. I'm so sorry. Please accept my most humble apology for being late.
No worries. No worries. Okay.
Thank you so much. I'm just totally delighted to have you as a guest this evening. And can you bear with me just a few seconds while I get things a little bit together over here, because what I've had a problem with is working late here lately. But I hope to remedy that here in the near future. So.
Okay. No problem.
Okay. Well, just give me about. I want to play a little musical interlude. And that'll help me get a few things together. But what I want to discuss, would you give me the name of your program, please?
It's In Harmony Community Club.
And I'm a member, so let me tell you, there are several reasons that I'm totally delighted to have you as a guest this evening. And, not to mention that I used to coach you in Pee Wee basketball. You know, so that's been a few years ago.
Yes,
Not to mention that you and my baby daughter are just about the same age. At least we're in the same graduating class. Am I correct in that?
You are correct. Correct.
Absolutely. And I've known you and your family, or at least I've known your family, wow, so many more years, way before you were ever even thought of. And my mom she loved the paternal side of your family as well as the maternal side of your family, your mom and your dad's family. So I've known you grew up with all those with all your uncle with a lot of your uncles and aunts on both sides of the family, and just let me tell you, you can't imagine how really thrilled that I am to have you here. And like I say, if you'll just bear with me a few seconds, let me play a little bit of music, and I'll be right back, and we'll have a discussion if that's okay.
Okay, sounds good.
Thank you, ma'am. Appreciate it.
So I'm happy tonight. I'm not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. We've got some difficult days ahead, but it really doesn't matter with me now, because I've been to the mountaintop. I don't mind. Like anybody, I would like to live a long life. Longevity has its place. But I'm not concerned about that now. I just want to do God's will. And He's allowed me to go up to the mountain. And I've looked over. And I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you. But I want you to know.
Something in that. confess that I'm weak and I'm faltering and I'm losing my courage.
University of Texas in Austin in 2000, And if I'm not mistaken, a degree in what, business? No?
No, actually it was a science degree in microbiology.
Okay. Oh, excellent, excellent. And then you moved away for a little while from West Texas, a little tiny town we all grew up in, and I moved to the big city for a little bit.
Right,
and
moved
to
Chicago.
How was the big city as a change from a change of pace? Well, of course, you moved from the little town that we grew up in to Austin, which is pretty good future shock, isn't it?
Well, it was less of one. It was less of one because the campus is kind of like a city inside of a city, and so when I first got there, I didn't have a car, so it was pretty much the same kind of small town feel of the campus, the college campus. Mm-hmm. But in my junior year, I lived in London for a little while.
Wow.
And studied there for a bit, and so that was more of a shock.
I bet.
That was a little more of a shock, but it was wonderful. It was an excellent experience that I now tell my kids about, you know.
Right.
So, and then in my senior year and right before I graduated, I got to know the city a little bit better and started to do more things in the city of Austin. And then I decided it was time for me to go and see a whole other side of the country, so headed to Chicago.
Oh, it was Chicago. I thought it was New York. Okay. Well, is Byron, where is Byron? Is Byron in?
Byron's in Houston. Everyone's in Houston now. Everyone. Vinny's there. Byron's there. Adrian's there. Andy's there.
Oh, okay. Well, I thought that Byron went upstate somewhere for a while. But
no,
you know who I'm thinking about? I'm thinking about Mike, the Riggins.
Riggins.
Right.
Mike Riggins.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it's you know, I'm old, child, you know.
Hey. Yeah. I believe yet Michael was in Maryland for a while, and now he's out in Florida.
Right. He graduated from Annapolis?
Yes, he got into the military and is doing really well with his family there.
You know, what I will say and the reason that I'm going through all these names and so forth, a lot of people, The little town that we come from in West Texas has produced, for its size, quite a number of notable individuals. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's really pretty phenomenal when you sit and think about it.
Exactly. Especially from our little tiny minority community, our cultural community. You know, there have been really some, to me, you know, when I think well, your mom taught nursing for, I mean, I don't want to make a mistake. I know an MSN probably, and I'm almost sure. Was it a PhD?
No, she got her master's from Texas Women's University.
Okay.
And then she taught at Howard College in Big Spring for a good long while after having a full career as a working RN.
Yeah.
So,
yes. That is, and then my big brother Vernon, he's been an educator for a long, long time.
Right.
And, you know, so, and, you know, I'm thinking, I'm sorry, I want to get into what you do and all that, but I'm reminiscing about Curtis and Eric and of course, Hayward. And of course, I didn't know Sonny, you know, he was older than me and some of the rest, Polly and, you know, some of your uncles and aunts and man, it's just like, I'm just so glad to have you here. Now, you know, I'm just really thrilled. I'm just totally excited and so greatly appreciative and humbled and honored to have you here. Now, and I know you mentioned about your children and so forth. You know, and I got my grands all over the place and all that kind of stuff. So I know that your family's just totally excited about the little ones as well, you know, and watching them, you know what I mean, come up. Hey, you know, bringing another generation just as strong and powerful as the generation that y'all are a part of and the ones that spawned you. And now, please, give me microbiology, okay? Give me the idea, the inspiration, or what put you in a frame of mind to entertain any idea about the In Harmony. Let me look up here and make sure I get it right. In Harmony Community Club. And what is it a little bit? I explained some, and there are some other, like the Beautifully Born I saw, and probably some more information that I'm not aware of, but I will be because I'm going to, follow through with you and get more research on what you do, and because I'm so appreciative of it. But please, just give me a little bit about, or as much as you choose to, how you decided and, what motivated, however that it came about, please, if you don't mind.
Sure. It started once I got to Chicago. I actually went to Chicago to attend law school. And I was going to law school hoping to use my science degree to foster some sort of career in intellectual property,
wow,
which is patents and copyrights and trademarks. And, usually a science major has no business in law school, but most of them head in the direction of doing patents. So I was studying patents, and so most of my academic life in law school was around intellectual property, but in the meantime, I was doing internships and summer work as a volunteer in a lot of nonprofit organizations, specifically working with immigrant populations and working with low-income populations and human rights organizations. And I guess that's where the seed was planted,
right,
to even put my mind in the direction of community building and doing community work.
Mm-hmm.
And so once I graduated from law school, I started working as a financial advisory manager, sort of teaching,
right,
low-income populations how to manage their money. And
get
that,
out of here.
That,
I didn't know that.
Right, yeah, that was my first job out of law school.
Wow.
It was an AmeriCorps position. Thank you, thank you. It was an AmeriCorps position. It was very low paid work. So I was sort of watching all of my law school colleagues go on to work in major firms and bringing in all these figures as far as salary goes, but
right.
I started to then get the feeling, though, that the lifestyle choice, as far as for me personally,
mm-hmm.
was more along the lines of following my passions.
Right.
And so then came the birth of my first child, my son, Talib.
Congratulations.
And,
yeah.
Thank you. He's 6 years old now.
Ah,
and
beautiful. Mm-hmm.
It was one of those situations where right from the start I knew that I wanted to give him a natural birth. So I worked with the midwife, stayed at home, and it was during that birth that I got even more into this this idea of natural living and thinking about the environment and thinking about communal living and all of the green, eco-friendly sort of hippie stuff they call lifestylers are into.
Mm-hmm.
But that birth really sort of caused a transformation on the inside, I guess you could say, because it
mm-hmm.
really made me kind of step back and really realize what's important on a simple and basic level,
right,
in terms of who we are as human beings,
mm-hmm.
and the direction that we're moving as a human race.
Mm-hmm.
And so from there, I just sort of just blossomed from there, and I started meeting more and more people who had the same mindset. And by the time my second son was born,
mm-hmm.
I was already very much into the natural lifestyle. But after those births and when it came time for me to make the decision of moving out of Chicago, I had got to the point where I had done a lot of internal soul searching and made a lot of transitions, adjustments, changes as far as who I am on the inside,
right,
and making
right.
that a better person.
Mm-hmm.
And I won't say that I hit a ceiling or anything, but I just began to realize that, you know, in terms of spiritual transformation and deepening in your spiritual walk,
mm-hmm.
There's a certain point where you have to realize that community is essential.
Right.
You can only do so much work on just you on the inside. Because
right.
we are a collective society, whether or not that's
mm-hmm.
fully expressed or not, we
mm-hmm.
are all connected to
mm-hmm.
each other and to the environment, to all living things. And so that
mm-hmm.
that whole oneness of things started to really dawn on me.
Mm-hmm.
And it's through that awakening, I guess you could say, that In Harmony Community Club was born, the idea was fostered. And so when I moved back, that prompted the decision to move back to
right.
my little small West Texas hometown.
Yeah, and, where I'm coming to.
Right.
I'll be there before long.
Oh, really? Great.
Oh,
that'll
yeah.
be good. That'll be fantastic. But yeah, thinking that this was more fertile ground to
mm-hmm.
start something as something like a grassroots organization instead of
mm-hmm.
as a way to pull all my different experiences together. They're so diverse and across the board. I really couldn't find a niche, a traditional niche
mm-hmm.
to fit into as far as like a typical employer, employee, go to work for a company, 9-to-5
Absolutely.
Type of thing.
Yeah,
just
yeah.
totally, I cannot
oh,
fit into that
you.
At all.
Mm-hmm. You know, Vina.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
I was
keep
just
going
to say, I just had
mm-hmm.
to sort of create my own,
yeah.
my own path, and
yeah, exactly.
And it gave me a chance. I had a wide open landscape.
Mm-hmm.
You know, looking at this community from the outside, a person might say, "Oh, you know, it's going downhill." There's been a heavy influx of drug traffic and drug
mm-hmm.
abuse and
mm-hmm.
all kinds of social ills, and
mm-hmm.
the actual physical look of the town in some places is pretty dilapidated. And
mm-hmm.
I know that most people would just sort of write it off and
right.
go on about their business. You know, it's a small place, it's out in dusty West Texas, and there's nothing going on,
mm-hmm.
is what most people say. But when I looked at it, I saw tremendous opportunity
right,
and
exactly.
potential
yeah.
for the type of social transformation that I had been studying and
mm-hmm.
reading about and just waiting to, you know, sink my teeth into and get my hands on and really experience what it's like to guide a community through successfully
mm-hmm.
to some sort of positive social transformation.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I first came back from Chicago, I had plenty of time to just sort of be in prayer and to meditate.
Right.
And that's when the plan began to just sort of channel through and to come through, and I managed to get
mm-hmm.
it all down on paper. So there you have it. That's
you know what? I'm going to interrupt you right here.
Uh-huh.
You know, that's what makes me so mad with you and my baby girl. I have no clue how to put anything down on paper. I told her what I wanted to do. Well, Dad, write it down. I'm like, girl, I don't have a degree. I don't have any idea how to write stuff. I just wing it. So,
That's totally relevant to it sometimes. So.
Well, you know, hey, you know, if you go back, you remember the time that I got a chance to help start the youth group there with the NAACP?
Yes.
You remember
that
way back?
Oh,
but
totally.
Yeah. Hold on. I want to play something for you. And this is a good dovetail with what you're doing. And this is a friend of mine that's in as well. And I want to say hi to Lacey, who's in the chat room. And Lacey's in, I always get it mixed up, Virginia. I believe I'm right. And if I'm with Virginia, am I right, Virginia, or am I wrong? I think she's in Virginia. And she also, there. You know, I've been fortunate enough, Vina, in some of the things that I've done to meet some of the most dynamic individuals along, mm-hmm. and let me include you right in, I mean, you know, knowing you for way long, long time. But, and you know, even I can remember, you know, coaching you and, you know, just, you know, you and baby girl and on the team and how, yes, Virginia, she said I was right. But how that you were you were very focused and very fast. Seeing a guy some speed, trust me, those boys had a speed that you had. Oh, my goodness. I used to enjoy watching you take the ball or going down and doing your own thing with the layups or whatever. So, but, you know what? I'm telling you, I remember, trust me, in the old Travis gym over there. And it's just such a – I mean, I'm telling you, it's just – my heart is just totally full with appreciation and humility and just gratitude to see you – what you've developed, how you've developed, and you know, and in addition to, you know, my baby girl, you know, Z, and I mean, you guys are just like, and I know there are others that I don't want to leave out, but you know, y'all two are just etched in my memory, and from so far back, because you know, your grandmother used to keep both my daughters. You know,
mm-hmm. And half, you know, the neighborhood.
Oh yeah, and you know, if I'm not mistaken, your granddad was an agrarian also, and your grandma probably. Didn't they have gardens back in the day?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, every year.
You know, and you know, I tell you what, in thinking about you and thinking about this. You know, and some of the conclusions that you came to, let me tell you, I'm going to throw a couple names at you, and I know these are so distant and far from you, but these are some of the guys that literally nobody would imagine had a phenomenal impact on me growing up in our little Texas town, and we'll tell everybody about it one of these days, but was, you know, two guys. One's name was Pine Top. You remember that name from back in the day?
Pine Top?
You may not.
No.
Pine Top,
no.
And T-Bone. You remember T-Bone back in the day?
Absolutely. Absolutely. We needed,
you know,
T-Bone back in the community.
You know what? I tell you what. This is one thing I remember about T-Bone. You know, these guys were, they had gotten involved, which, by God's grace, I'm clean off drugs and alcohol since August 22nd, 1988. But it's only by God's grace. It's not because I was any more deserving than anyone else. But these men, gentlemen, were far my senior. They were probably, when I was in my teens, 15 or so years old, these men were probably in their mid to late 50s. They were probably at least 40 years older than I am. And I used to watch, you know, people would make fun of them and stuff. And to this day, as I'm speaking to you now, tears are forming in my eyes because I think about these guys. And the stories that I think that people don't remember or haven't heard about these guys, they were guys that would drink Bay Rum, Thunderbird wine, and bootleg whiskey and all this different kind of stuff. And people would look at them and find them to be amusing. What I would look at those guys as I got older even and look back, I would think of how that they were mistreated. They were – T-Bone, I could remember for sure about him because I knew had a little bit more history about him than I did Pine Top. But T-Bone used to drive a tractor on a farm or a ranch or whatever. And – so he was an agrarian, you know, back that far. Mm-hmm. Our people came from the dirt, came from the soil. If you, wherever you want to take us back to South America, you want to take us back to the continent of Africa, we are agrarians. And I mean, when I thought about you and this project, I was just like, I mean, just like, you know, and it's taken me some time to get to the point that I could contact you because I wanted to do some justice. And as it would what would have happened last week, I got caught up at work, and I didn't get a chance to get off. As a matter of fact, I was late today because I got caught up at work, and I got in late. But I'm going to do something about that in the very near future. But, Vina, just hang on just 1 second. Let me play this promo, and I want to show you that you're not alone in what your endeavors are. Can you give me about just a few seconds?
Okay, sure.
Okay, here we go.
SMART Incorporated. Single mothers are really trying. SMART is devoted to humanitarian aid for women and children. Our program will allow women to be housed with their children and or reunite families during the reentry process. Recovery from addictive disorders is a process of transformation. SMART aims to provide each individual with a full range of tools for preventing relapse to addictive disorders and managing the unique challenges of life. In this way, each client's recovery is customized. In addition, the program is designed to address the needs of the Hispanic population. All of our services will be offered in Spanish as well as English. The Spanish program will be tailored to include additional support for educational and community integration. SMART Incorporated, Rabia Ahmed, CEO, P.O. Box 305, Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, zip code 19081. Phone 484-905-2027. 484-905-2027. Fax 302-761-9019. You can also contact us at smart2change@yahoo.com.
So you see, that's Sister Rabia Ahmed, who's in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, who's just this year initiated the group that she had. Well, she gave birth to this group after several years of contemplation and making certain determinations. And she just here a couple months ago gave up her job with the Pennsylvania State Penal Institution to dedicate full time to her SMART, Single Mothers Are Really Trying, organization. And I want to welcome Sister Navazor, Ms. Vina Clay. And Sister Navazor, I wish that you would get some info on Sister Vina. She's the same age as my baby girl, and they grew up together in a small town, and she's doing a wonderful thing with the Harmony. In Harmony Community, let me make sure I get it right, In Harmony Community Club. And Sister Navazor, she's in the chat room, Vina. I don't know if you've gotten to the chat room yet, but hopefully you will, but eventually. But Sister Navazor has a program also on BTR, Block Talk Radio. And let me give out the number. If you want to talk with Ms. Vina Clay, with the In Harmony Community Club, IHCC, please drop us a call. Give us a call at 347-945-7040, and we'd be more than happy to have you become a part of this conversation. We'd appreciate it. Now, Vina, I was looking down at the information that I found on your site, and let me give your site. Would you give your site, please, and some information about it, if you don't mind?
Sure. It's www.inharmonyliving.weebly.com.
And Weebly, how you spell it?
W-E-E-B-L-Y.
Okay. Now, just say it one more time.
In www.inharmonyliving.weebly.com.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. And you had explained initially that during your when you were a resident in Chicago, Illinois, and I'm telling you, I'm so motivated by Chicago, Illinois, because there are so many powerful people coming from Chicago, Illinois, and there are so many wonderful things happening in Chicago, Illinois, and you haven't been associated in that environment, and you took a lot of the things that you got with you to the city, and then you brought a more full content with you when you came back to home. And I'm going to do everything that I can to help you have this program be known as far as wide as we can get it to be known, because I think that it's a phenomenal idea, concept, and it's about community. And let me just read this information right quick. In Harmony Community Club, IHCC is a grassroots organization operating out of rural West Texas. IHCC implements simple, sustainable community development projects to promote healthy lifestyles one community at a time. One of the IHCC's major goals is to initiate organic community gardens and promote natural building techniques in rural areas. To learn more about the In Harmony Community Club and its projects, then she has a way to contact her, Ms. Vena Clay, V-E-E-N-A, Vena Clay. Am I right?
Right.
Okay. And your giving can make a difference. IHCC is raising funds to support organic community building and gardening projects in rural West Texas, where we grew up. We need your support. Make a safe, secure online donation to the in the amount of your choice, or purchase a Samaritan discount card to donate and save. And thanks for giving. And also, let me go with the Beautifully Born. Sister Vena Clay shared with us that she had natural birth with her two sons, and Beautifully Born is an association of mothers and doulas working together to promote doula care and entrepreneurship among underrepresented females. A doula, if I'm pronouncing that correctly, is an executive.
Doula.
Okay, thank you. A doula is an expectant mother's birth companion, offering support and encouragement throughout the birth process. The Beautifully Born Doula Sponsorship Program provides doula training and small business startup education to low-income women, endeavoring to start their own doula business. To learn more about Beautifully Born, please contact us. Now, and the way, when you hear Sister Clay refer to Weebly, the way you spell Weebly is W-E-E-B-L-Y. And Ms. Clay, would you please speak to, you mentioned initially that you were an advisor to individuals in minority communities as to how they could start, resources, or how to get the startup businesses going, or something like that. Am I correct in that?
The way that it works, I've organized the club, we have three main focus areas. One is community building and community development. The other is environmental respect, so that's where the community gardens and the natural building workshops come in. And then the third is economic development, and that sort of portion of what we are doing is still developing. We do a lot of community building through our one project that we do is a free flea market once a month. We offer donated home goods and clothing, electronics, and appliances and furniture to the community as just a free event to foster community giving and sharing, and so that people can start to think of themselves as a resource in times of need, and also to encourage just the free exchange of material items and encourage donations and bartering and trading. We also do stargazing parties that bring people together to network and bring kids together so that they can experience the community garden.
Right.
And so that's sort of the community building that we do. And then the environmental respect is trying to foster a greater awareness about organic growing and nutrition, eating foods and selecting foods that are grown free of pesticides and chemicals and herbicides, and how valuable that is to healthy living.
Mm-hmm.
But so the economic development portion is sort of waiting in the wings, and we do have ideas. One of them is to start to incubate small businesses among especially the low-income populations, with the whole idea being to organize programs and develop projects that will empower people to be independent and to live independently, where they're not depending on the government, they're not relying on a check to come every month, and where they can start their own businesses and start to support their families through by generating their own income. And so those projects that are waiting in the wing and waiting in the wings, and also youth-born can be included in some of the work that I'm doing that is still developing. That sort of highlights what we are in need of right now, and that's more participation, more volunteers, more people who are willing to dedicate and donate not just their money but also their time and invest energy and knowledge and skills into some of these ideas and projects that are really making a difference and a great impact in this area.
Let me tell you, I can only just tell you that I'm just totally thrilled with the concept and the initiation. And, like I say, if it's God's will, within the next 2 or 3 months, I'll be reestablishing my residence. And if it's okay, I'll get a chance to visit with you a little bit, and hopefully we can do some things that would enhance or further your endeavors. And because what you have, initiated is just tremendous. And I had mentioned earlier about the youth group and the concept for that youth group back, some years ago. One of the things was that in our community, I don't know if you, do you remember, were you with us when that time we went up to the Snyder Daily News?
I don't think so.
Okay, you were a little bit.
I was pretty little.
Young. I don't even want to go back. But one of the ideas was to. And I don't know who's the editor now, but anyway, was to have the youth to meet the editor on his territory, as well as have him meet the youth, not as just quote unquote black youth or minority youth, but as individuals. And, because have people begin to realize that each of us is an individual and we have a tremendous amount of potential. And, the idea was that there were a lot of individuals who might have had some really bad opinions and thoughts and beliefs about each other in our community. And I don't know if you remember, we had a little tiny drive to bring food, canned goods and so forth, trying to, raise some resources for back in the day. It was a homeless, population and so forth. And, one of the concepts behind that idea was that I wanted, for children who were envious and not, I don't know if they were, they just didn't like a person because of one was more popular, one was perceived to be more attractive, one was perceived to be more intelligent, more dedicated, more focused, whatever. But when a child could bring a can of peas or a can of beans or a can of corn to, and some did, to assist some people who were in need, who were in dire, who that can of food, it's not so much the sustenance of the can of food itself, it's the act of random kindness and the empowerment of that individual to realize that no matter how insignificant you may think you are and how much more well-developed an individual that you see through your eyes is, you have the power, literal power, to change a person's life, their perception, their you know, have an impact on their dreams forever, you know. And so, you know, just the idea of taking, you know, with what your project is, a child from a seed to a producing plant, say from a seed to an okra plant or a squash plant or whatever the fruit or vegetable or whatever it is that you're trying to raise, that child gets to watch the evolution of that seed, that tiny little singular seed of hope, desire to grow. And come to fruition to provide something valuable and needed for the individual who has a chance to partake of that investment, you know, a few days prior to. It's the same to me as a life. You know, a life starts as a seed, and as it develops, you know, it becomes more phenomenal and has more of an ability to have either one, a positive or a negative impact on the environment that it finds itself in. But often
it's so
definitely. You know, and often it has to do with the perception. Because if I perceive myself to be powerless, and then that would have me look at you as being powerful, then I would continually watch you and try to cast aspersions on the things that you do, and I would spend more time trying to negate your progress than I would enhance my own progress.
Mm-hmm.
And so
yes.
I couldn't – go ahead. I'm sorry.
I was just thinking about how that really is so – it's very much like the concept of food security, which is why we started the community garden. One of the reasons why we chose a community garden to sort of rally around is the idea that you – yeah, in times of scarcity, when food is few, short in supply,
right.
You get a lot of people, if there are gardens, you get a lot of people jumping the fence and stealing food.
Right.
Whereas if everybody has a garden, then the playing field is leveled, and so you lessen the chance for violence and stealing and theft behind food because each person is empowered. And that, that sort of is a central concept that plays across many different fields and many different subject areas.
Right.
And what results is a more stabilized community when each individual feels empowered and is equipped with the tools spiritually, emotionally supported, and communally supported, with education and tools and the knowledge to do their own thing, then not only are they more willing to excel and achieve on their own, but they're also more willing to share and to actually recognize and realize that they are not just individuals, but also a part of an entire web of life and a part of a community.
Yes, exactly. You know, because actually, you know, what we have in that small town is sort of a microcosm of the world. You know, outside, for, you know, socially, it's designed. And everywhere that I've been in my 59 and a half years of living has shown me there is a concept that that revolves around the idea of, quote-unquote, a caste-type system. Which, to me, a caste system, as I would define it, suggests that wherever, whatever level that I'm born in is the level that I should stay in, and I should never aspire to expand or improve, increase, or develop more fully, evolve into something more phenomenal than I could ever even imagine. And it threatens the equilibrium. The balance is that the more dominant stay dominant, and the more perceived to be less dominant stay less dominant, and thereby being less threatened. And when what happens is it creates within, there are those creative skills that are universal. In other words, when the master, whomever a person believes to be the master, whenever that a person was created, that individual was gifted with similar skills to anyone more successful than themselves. For instance, Bill Gates is to me one of the most phenomenally successful individuals in the world. But there are things that we have in common: 24 hours a day, 365
right.
days a year. We breathe
right.
air, we
right.
eat food. You know, and when I began to expand all the similarities rather than confine myself and constrain myself by the differences, you know, then I began to breathe freer. I began to feel
it's
more
true.
Empowered. You know what I'm saying? And
with
so,
peace, it generates peace. It is very that sort of thinking is
mm-hmm.
absolutely, you know, you think of it in terms of just sort of concepts and ideas and thoughts and perspectives, but those perspectives have potential. They have power in and of themselves to bring a community that's in the throes of violence to back to order and stability and peace.
Right.
Because people start to, it changes people's focus. And
right.
What happens is when you get, you know, I don't know how familiar you are about how the West Texas community that we grew up in has changed over the years
mm-hmm.
in just a short few decades. But there has, I mean, when I came back here from Chicago,
mm-hmm.
You know, I thought I was leaving a great number of more urban social problems behind, but
mm-hmm.
come to find out they're all here.
Mm-hmm.
There's human trafficking, there's
mm-hmm.
intense domestic violence, intense
mm-hmm.
child abuse,
mm-hmm.
Extremely heavy drug use and drug traffic,
mm-hmm.
and we're
mm-hmm.
not just talking about, you know, your life weed and, you know,
mm-hmm.
Prescription
mm-hmm.
drugs.
Yeah.
We're talking
yeah.
heroin, we're talking cocaine
right.
addicts at 16, 17, 18,
right.
13,
right.
14. You know, so it's intense, and we're talking
yeah.
a homeless population.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then we have things that are not so crime and violence
mm-hmm.
and abuse oriented, like the fact that there are at least 150 families from international
mm-hmm.
Parts of the community, of the globe.
Yeah.
Here living in this small little town,
mm-hmm.
mostly East Indian, Asian.
Mm-hmm.
So there's been a lot of rapid, very rapid changes,
mm-hmm.
some for the better, but a lot of them for the worse.
Mm-hmm.
And to say that we are a microcosm is absolutely true.
Yeah.
And,
mm-hmm.
You know, we've got it just sort of created a vacuum
mm-hmm.
For sort of balancing out that whole type of caste
mm-hmm.
thinking and
mm-hmm.
that atmosphere that it produces, because it is heavily embedded here. It's a generational thing that
mm-hmm.
repeats itself over and
mm-hmm.
over and
yeah.
over and over
right.
again.
Mm-hmm.
And it's got to have some creative thinking and some
mm-hmm.
fresh insight to break
mm-hmm.
those cycles, because mm-hmm. it's creating a dangerous, very, very dangerous situation here.
Right. Well, you know, Vina, let me tell you what. I want to add a voice. I think I can add a voice. Hold on just a second. Sister Rabia Ahmed, is that you?
Yes.
That's my dear sis. Hey, a beautiful, beautiful soul, wonderful spirit. Sister Navazar is in the room. Ms. Lacey, bless y'all. They're in the chat room. And Ms. Vina Clay, may I introduce to you also Ms. Rabia Ahmed, the lady that I did the promo about with SMART, and Ms. Rabia Ahmed, may I present to you Ms. Vina Clay, who's the young lady that's the same age as my baby daughter, and they are, I promise you, they are some couple, at least, that they're more than just them, but they are phenomenal individuals. And have you heard anything about what Sister Vina has been doing?
Yes. Good evening, sister. How are you?
Greetings. I'm very pleased to meet you.
Very pleased to meet you as well. Yeah, I was listening.
And, you know, it's you know, the minute that, I mean, you know, after I got into it, I began to realize just how close in spirit y'all are, or, you know, everybody is, you know. But, you know, with the two organizations, with yours, SMART, would you just give a brief synopsis, if you don't mind, of what's going on and how things going there in Swarthmore, or am I still correct with Swarthmore?
You caught me while I was eating.
Oh, I'm sorry. Well, let me, go ahead. When you get done, just, you know.
You know, we fasting. This is the month of Ramadan, so.
Okay.
We fasting, and I just started eating while I was listening.
Okay.
I'll come back, though.
Okay. Well, Sister Vina, I got a chance to meet Mr. Abia's dad online. I call him Brother Ahmed. And Brother Ahmed was his Muslim brother. And he initiated her, or he and her mom for generations. He's a business individual, private, you know, business individual. And from that, I think she learned a lot from her dad, as well as I'm sure you did from your mom and dad. And, you know, just to show that, you know, here we are all together here on this little show. And like I say, Sister Navazar, and Sister Navazar has a show, Miss Vina, that, you know, what I would like you to do, if you get a chance, is to go to www.blogtalkradio.com and sign up, and that way you can visit some of the different shows on here.
Mm-hmm.
There are, like, I think 33,000 hosts on this network, and there are
actually.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say that I've joined and set up
okay.
a radio show of our
okay.
own. I haven't done one in a while, but
right.
I've been meaning to get it back started. But
okay.
yeah, it's a great resource for an organization like ours to
exactly.
keep listeners updated and to sort of get the word out.
Right.
So yeah, definitely I'll start at your site and sort of go through your friends and
thank you.
See what all is going on.
And be sure to please be one of my friends, and I'll be one of your friends. And
okay.
Because I'm just thoroughly delighted with what you're doing. And what I was going to ask you is, would you share your Facebook with us also while you know.
Yeah, my Facebook is under my name, a different spelling, Vena Clay
mm-hmm.
is my Facebook
mm-hmm.
name, and the
Zen
site
Harmony.
That comes up will have.
Okay.
I was going to say the site that comes up will have links to all of the club's website,
mm-hmm.
the group page, and then the club also has a e-store. That we use
mm-hmm.
as a fundraising.
I saw that.
And so it has a fan page that all of the links there are though on the page that comes up from my personal Facebook page. And
okay.
so from there people can go to the various page they want to join and get connected that way.
Ah, that is beautiful. And like I say, Sister Rabia Ahmed, if I'm not mistaken, is SMART 2, the letter, the number 2, change, CHANGE, at yahoo.com. And, you know, that I'm just hoping that y'all will get a chance, along with Sister Navazar, and there are some other dynamic hosts on here that I've had a pleasure to meet, which one is Sister India Declare, INDIA. DECLAIR, India Declare, and I Declare is her show, and Sister Janice Graham, JANICEGRAHAM. She has a network, and on that network, she has several different shows as well as hosts. And Brother Alfo, ALFO, Alfo is one of the hosts. One of the hosts on that show also. And another one of the individuals that I'm very proud to have met is Miss Quiet Storm, MSQUIETSTORM. And she's on Saturdays, and just type her in the search block and you'll find her. And let me throw some kudos to Nip's Poetic Nook for their support. And they're having been a part. And one of the things that they were a part, the reason, one of the reasons that I had asked them to be a part was because, you know, there is so much creativity that we foster that never reaches the surface. It's stifled, stymied, suppressed. And I think that through even my feeble attempts at poetry, which I felt a tremendous relief by being able to put some things down that some were whimsical, comical, or some were just plain stupid. And, you know, some had some depth to them as best I was able to facilitate. But the idea of it is that, you know, we all have to touch the different areas, to me, of creativity that we have and join through those links, because as we grow, we threaten the equilibrium, because there are people who are not going to grow, and they want us to be suppressed so that we could accommodate their fears of mediocrity. They know they're mediocre, in my opinion, and they don't want to put forth any effort to improve their condition. Therefore, what they choose to do is to go to whatever level or extent to suppress and to distract and divert and even attempts at annihilation and devastation of people who have simply want to expand and improve their own condition. So, but, you know, these are some of the hosts that have some shows also on Blog Talk Radio, Sister Savina, that you might get a chance to visit. And Teacher to Student, I think, I can't remember, but that is a wonderful show. Miss Applewhite, she has that show. And anyway, I could go on and on, but my primary impetus this evening was to introduce you to my little tiny listening audience, and we do have, and I hopefully next time I'll do more promotion work on my Facebook page, as well as any other opportunities and possibilities that I have to provide people information and direction to you and the organization that you have conceived and implemented, because, you know, and as well as, like I say, Sister Rabia, who has conceived and implemented, and Sister Navazar, who conceived and implemented her show, as well as Ms. Lacey. I know Ms. Lacey, she has phenomenal talents that she's conceived and initiated some ideas that are, I think, going to have a tremendous impact. And, you know, there are just any number of opportunities and possibilities for redirecting. You know, my grandson, who will remain unnamed, has had some challenges in the hometown. And he, I got a chance to visit with one of the individuals who was, you know, legally assigned to him. And I asked that guy, and he graciously agreed to be a part of, because what I'd like to do is to have a, you know, something like what I had before with the NAACP, a group where that we can reach out. And if we can do it through your organization or however, to the youth, because what he told me was, he said that there are two primary entities for youth in our hometown. One is the schoolhouse, and the other one is the jailhouse. And he happened to be a law enforcement officer. Yeah, and he said, I like my job. But anyway, when he said
sounds, I understand where he's coming from, mm-hmm. and I've heard that repeated over and over mm-hmm. and over again. Mm-hmm. And I'd love to. I'm so ready, and to hear that you'll be coming back, because really, you know, what I'm doing is following in the footsteps, you know, your own footsteps. Major community. No, don't start. You mm-hmm. were a major community mm-hmm. leader when we were growing up, and mm-hmm. there were not that many. And so, you know, you got to give props. You know,
You know, I did have fun with the radio show. Do you remember the radio show?
Yes, that's what I'm talking about. That and more. I mean, here's a typical example of how you know, you're doing your thing. You're going about mm-hmm. doing your thing, and you're just doing what comes natural to you, what makes sense to you, but you don't realize how much of an impact and the type of waves you leave in your wake. But, yeah, it's, you know, if people, there weren't people like you that went before me, I mean, it would be really, really difficult to try and do something like this. And the people that are remaining in this community, especially from the African American mm-hmm. population, mm-hmm. they remember the things that you did too. Because when I come to them and I come up and I say, oh, you know, here's what I'm doing, the first name that comes up is Zern. You know, so, and we reminisce back and reminisce about the radio show and about NAACP and all of that good stuff. Yeah. So to hear that you're coming back is, and two, that you're interested in doing some work with the youth, because I have to admit that's not really my calling. But I've been really, really waiting for somebody to come along so that we can spin off in that direction, because it is definitely something that's needed in this area.
I'm going to be calling on you, and so when you know, I'm telling you, the reason that I'm tongue tied is because I want to just go, you know, I want to just think. But well, for instance, the Collins, is Daryl and Ronnie and Deb and all of them, and the Clays and, you know, the Brazil, the Thompson. Kenny Wayne. I noticed Kenny Wayne. I sent him a friend's deal from my Facebook account. You know, this is, you don't have a clue, Ben, and I hope that God lets me live long enough where I can talk about what I want to, you know, would like to see happen. I talked with Nancy Ann up in the East Texas, and, you know, Johnny Man, all of these ones. I haven't talked with them, but we all got this hookup. You know, all of us got this hookup. And so what I really would like to do is to somehow, because what you're doing, I wanted to address. And Sister Rabia is are you through? No telling. She cussed me out. But anyway.
can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Oh, okay.
But, you know, please, would you talk a little bit about your group and what you do? And I want to, Sister Clay, to see the ties. And you and Sister Navas, I wish Sister Navas I would call in also. And Sister Lacey, I mean, yeah, you know, would you talk a little bit about what you do?
Talk a little bit about SMART.
Mm-hmm.
SMART stands for Single Mothers Are Really Trying, and it's a nonprofit organization, and we provide residential rehabilitation services to women and children that are coming from prison, homeless, abuse situations, and so on and so forth.
Mm-hmm.
Temporary sheltering, victims of drug abuse, spousal abuse, children abuse, because, you know, children abuse parents too now. This,
mm-hmm.
We're hearing a lot about how these children are abusing their parents, which I think is horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And we provide different types of services, from violence prevention, coping skills,
mm-hmm.
Life skills training, conflict resolution. Our program is in English and it's in Spanish,
mm-hmm.
so that we could serve the Hispanic population as mm-hmm. well.
Well, you know, when you say Spanish, you know, it's traditionally, Panamanian. I mean, you know, there are any number of nationalities who first language is Spanish, and
mm-hmm.
that opens up a tremendous expanse of opportunities and possibilities to address a lot of other, like Puerto Ricans, for instance, a lot of other individuals who have those needs. And, you know, I hope that you will consider, as you begin to develop and evolve, Texas as being on your radar. Yeah, seriously, because you can see.
I know, and
you can see, like, with Sister Clay, and like I say, she's the same age as my baby girl. They grew up together. I mean, you know, the same graduated the same year and everything. And
I have a question, though.
Yes.
If I may interrupt you just for a
Please,
second.
You know you got to do that.
Lena,
you're going to learn that what she does.
I wanted to ask the sister, can you spell your name for me? I just want to make sure that I pronounce it correctly.
It's the true spelling is V-E-A-N-A, and the pronunciation is pronounced Vena.
Vena,
like
okay.
Mm-hmm.
I got you. Okay. I wanted to ask you a question. We were talking about the youth, because I just wrote a program for a prevention of youth violence. I don't know if you heard. Maybe you have not heard about the violence that's going on in this one city, Chester, Pennsylvania.
Hmm.
And
flash mob.
It's all kinds of stuff. Flash mob is real big in Philadelphia.
No flash mob.
The flash mob. I'm sorry. The flash mob is really big in Philadelphia, and they haven't gotten so big in Chester because Chester is such a small town.
Mm-hmm.
But they're on their way. But I just wanted to ask you, sister, because when I wrote this program about the youth, I wrote about resilience in the young community, and I looked at a lot of statistics that lies with the youth population, and it's growing rapidly with these teenagers committing crimes, killings. A lot of them are doing a lot of killings, and they're not afraid to die. But what I wanted to ask you was, do you think that we as the caretakers, the parents of these children, do you think that we failed in the outcome of our youth?
I don't think so.
Okay.
But I think that the mentality, I mean, even the fact that the question has to be asked, I think that that reflects an image, an internal image of, I think a lot of people from the baby boomer age do feel like they have failed.
Mm-hmm.
And that resonates throughout everything that they do, whether it's positive or negative.
Mm-hmm.
And that if that is not fixed on the inside, then it sort of taints whatever it is that the caretaker, as you say, generation, puts its hands to.
Mm-hmm.
If there is a feeling of failure anywhere present within you and you're trying to do compassionate work and you've got a
mm-hmm.
feeling of failure in your heart, then that's
mm-hmm.
going to come out in what you do. It's going
mm-hmm.
to shape and it's going to color everything that you do. And
mm-hmm.
I see that coming out. And I see a lot of frustration then coming as a result, because then you cannot understand why you've got this great idea, this positive outlook, and a lot of energy towards something that isn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And
okay.
You've connected all the dots, and you've taken a very rational and reasonable approach, but it's not reaching who it needs to reach, and people are having trouble relating to it. It's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not a matter of, okay, so then the next step after that is what I see is that this older generation then takes a stance, well, let me get down on their level. And so then there's a bunch of, you know, like trying to connect through hip-hop and
mm-hmm.
and the more modern things. Mm-hmm. And then that doesn't work as well. And then at that point either there's a fizzling out, or by that time the energy is lost, the initial energy is lost, and so then you get these half efforts. And people that then start to just take a model from over here and just re-implement it, and there's a loss of creativity. I think what we're really seeing among my generation and younger is an attitude of we're venturing into states of beyond apathy and beyond I just don't care anymore. And it's more like people who are just sort of present. They've gone to the point, past the point of no return, where it's beyond the fact that nothing that I do is working and people don't understand me. But they, you know, they're just short of suicide. And so they're doing what they can, just to stay alive. And so, you can see that in this state of things, just living to survive is a very difficult and very frustrating and very depressing state of being. And then you add on top of that the immaturity of youth and the lack of experience of a youth. And what you get is situations that are born just of, in some instances, just plain boredom. I mean, that's what we see here in rural areas. People don't do wild and crazy stuff because they, had bad families or a terrible upbringing. They just get bored, and they go out and do crazy, wild, violent, serious, dangerous things just because there was nothing better to do.
Mm-hmm. May I interject something, please?
Absolutely.
This is the thing that I think that we have to realize. And by the way, we're off the air, but this will be on the archives. This is something that we to me have to. It's imperative that we consider and realize and understand that we factor in this variable. Is that law enforcement and societal expectations put us in a precarious situation. And if we can instantaneously change everyone's approach, everyone's paradigm, then we would better be able to facilitate a change in people's behavior. But just because a person puts on a badge and a uniform doesn't mean that their heart changes to reflect the expectations of that badge and that oath that they've taken and sworn to, and the highest expectations of that particular service that they join themselves into, and they exacerbate a lot of marginal situations into being very hazardous situations. And we have to start to realize, and this is the three things. This is my approach, my thought process that was shared with me by other people. PIC, prevention, intervention, and cure. We're going to be able to prevent bad behavior in some instances. We're going to be able to intervene to change people, to put them in the right direction, and then some people are going to be caught up, and we're just going to have to cure them. But cure has to be, to me, determined by that individual's desire to number one, to be aware that there is an opportunity to change, and number two, that they have the contextual or the personal prerequisites to change, and I think provide people with the prerequisites, because they may not, depending on the environment that you come from, determines whether or not you feel confident that you have an ability to initiate change that's necessary for you to become successful. And so this is very involved, to me, and it's not simplistic, but it's not impossible or insurmountable. So when you say, have we failed as a, no. I mean, but what we have to do is to not knock ourselves and blame ourselves. We have to realize that there are other extenuating circumstances that have a horrendous and tremendous, phenomenal bearing on our the individual's performances the individuals who haven't been indoctrinated or processed to realize their own positive self potential. When I was growing up in Snyder, one of the things that kept me, that makes me want to do things to assist in changing the environment, is that there were a lot of kids that watched me do bad things, and I look at it back now, retrospectively. They didn't have what I grew up with Aunt Kirstie and all of them, Vina, you know, the ones that gave us that old school stuff that taught us, you know, and you know, all the rest of the family, the older members, that, you know, made you sit down and be quiet and don't go out. And they didn't have that. They only saw the flamboyant side. And so then they began to, you know, develop the flamboyance, the, you know, the swagger. Well, with that swagger came a certain alarm that was inside of a lot of us that said, it's time to be quiet, it's time to sit back, it's time to chill out. And they didn't get that part of it, you know.
I was going to say that, that's another extenuating circumstance that, that again reiterates the fact that the caretaker, the ones who are stepping up and trying to do something, like yourself, Ms. Rabia, it's not a failure on your part. Mm-hmm. You're up against an extensive subculture in many cases that glorifies the type of behavior that you are looking at, like that shouldn't be. Not only does it glorify, but accepts it as the norm. That is the norm, and then that's something to shoot for. And yes, we are talking about not just obscene behavior and loitering and things like that. We're talking about theft, and we're talking about murder, and we're talking about any number of things. And it's an extensive subculture. It has its own rules, unspoken this and that, and it's been now set in stone for at least a generation or two.
Oh wow! More.
Based on the fact that we have, kids having babies, you know, so it's now to the point of just short of being institutionalized.
Oh yeah.
And it's fostered by the fact that you have injustices in the society that are just as fixed in stone, like police brutality and all of the issues that we have with the justice system in America that actually feeds into these subcultures that are forming, where kids are gravitating to because it's the only alternative in some cases to just sitting inside of their room at home doing nothing.
I'm going to throw this out right quick, is that, the in Pennsylvania, Sister Rabia, are you still here?
Yes.
What about that judge?
Which judge?
That they just sentenced for all of those cases that he over-sentenced people. They sentenced him for how many years? 30 years or something?
Yeah, I think it's 30 or 40 years. But you know what? I wanted to comment on something.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let me be quiet.
That's okay.
I am.
That's okay.
I know.
That's okay. That's okay. But we were talking about the youth. I don't think that, because I would hate to think that we as parents and caretakers and providers for the children I would hate to think that we feel like we failed. I don't feel like that I failed. We had a discussion, and it was a meeting at City Hall, and some of the parents were saying that they thought they had failed their children, and this was one of the reasons why the crime was just out of control. And I didn't feel that way. I feel that maybe we can do a little more, because one of the things that I noticed and that I know about children and just people in the general, but since we're talking about the youth, we have to change their way of thinking. Because if we change their way of thinking, their behavior will change. But we, I know in Chester, you know, we're having a lot of rallies and, you know, we rallying, we, you know, coming out and doing all these things and telling children, not only in Chester, but I was in Philadelphia and they were having a rally about stopping the violence. And I noticed that in these rallies that we're having, we keep telling the children to stop the violence, but we're not replacing it with anything.
Yep.
Because you're telling them to stop doing what mm-hmm. they've been doing since they were six.
Mm-hmm.
And now they're 20.
Mm-hmm.
This is all that they know.
Mm-hmm.
So if we're going to tell them to stop the violence, then we have to replace it with something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, one of the things that you were talking about was prevention strategies.
Mm-hmm.
You know, having more family, like parent and family-based programs to
mm-hmm.
improve some of the family relations. Because when I talk about violence prevention, I'm always talking about a strategy to solve the problem. Because we've been talking about the problem for 25 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that what might be a good idea if we start focusing on the prevention strategies.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, having the parent and family based programs that's going to improve the relationships between the families. Having parents become trained in child development. Teaching parents how to talk to their children. Teaching parents how to listen to their children, because we as parents, when our children are speaking, we have a tendency of cutting them off because we don't want to hear it.
Mm-hmm.
So we cut them off. But I think it's so important for us to listen to what they're saying, because I believe that basically children want to do good.
Mm-hmm.
They want you to praise them. You know, they want to mm-hmm. go to a program where they get a certificate saying that they completed something.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just real quick, by working in the prison system, and I was in the system for 5 years,
mm-hmm.
and in the system, you know, the guys, they go for their GED, and, you know, I'm a drug and alcohol counselor, so they came through the therapeutic community program. It's a 6-month program. And that program, after 6 months, you get a certificate, and we have
mm-hmm.
a little graduation ceremony.
Mm-hmm.
And each one, most of the ones that I've been through in the 5 years, those guys are so happy that they have a certificate
mm-hmm.
saying that they completed a program. And
mm-hmm.
a lot of them say, this is my first time, because most of them don't have high school diplomas or GEDs.
Mm-hmm.
They're so happy to get a certificate, you would think that it was like gold, the way that they act. Yeah. To them, absolutely. And to me, because I'm happy that they completed, you know. But the whole program is cognitive restructuring,
mm-hmm.
which is basically changing the way that they think. You know, we have to restructure. And through them whole 6 months, I have seen some of the guys come out, and they're doing really well now. One gentleman, he did 13 years. I was his counselor. He came out, and now he's working, and he just been out for 2 years in April. Mm-hmm. And now he's a facilitator of forensic peer assistant, and all he had was his certificate that I gave him, and then he became a peer assistant while he was in the prison. So he had those two certificates. He came out mm-hmm. to Philadelphia, and he talked, and he worked, and he worked. And now he's making, out of and within 2 years, he making $45,000 a year. You know, mm-hmm. so I could see that working. I have mm-hmm. seen it work. You know, I have seen other inmates come out and did not go, they did not resort to that negative lifestyle. So mm-hmm. it does work.
It's possible.
When you, absolutely. Once they change their way of thinking, because one of the things that they all said to me and to other counselors as well, I work with some great counselors, was that this is all I knew. I didn't know mm-hmm. nothing else. I didn't know that I could read this well. I didn't know that I could comprehend that well. I didn't know that I could write this program and I could do this. And I, you know, they didn't know because they were never taught. You know, it was never expounded upon. They didn't have any real training in it, you know. But once that happened for them, and this is why I like the reentry program that we're launching now with the women and the men coming out of prison, because what we do is we go back into the prison and mm-hmm. we help them get prepared for when they come out, because they don't know. There's not a lot of programs in Chester. There aren't any programs that provide the type of services that we provide mm-hmm. when the gentlemen that are in prison are getting treatment, but the women that and the children and the families that they hurt, they didn't get any treatment. You know, so that's a problem. So now what we're doing is we're dealing with the families, and that's why I like this SMART is providing these services to right. the women and the children, because when the fathers come home, they feel like they're cured, you know.
Right.
But then you got to come back to the people that you hurt that are damaged. So they have to be treated as well, mm-hmm. you know.
Right.
So.
Well, I definitely want to exchange contact information with you because
oh,
this program sounds like, I mean, it sounds like an excellent, excellent, excellent model for starting something similar out here, because we uh-huh. too have a recidivism issue that's
right.
going to do nothing but grow. We just got a new incarceration facility here.
Another one?
It's being built. It's about to be opened. Yeah. Yeah.
What state are you in? Are you in Texas?
We're in Texas.
Okay.
And I know that this is the prison industry is big business.
Right.
And I know that a lot of people are benefiting from it, and mm-hmm. the rate of programs that are responsive to that fact is not growing as much as the rate of the growth of the prison industry.
Mm-hmm.
And that's something that needs to be addressed in the way that you're doing it, because I know that T.D. Jakes has a similar program as well
mm-hmm.
in the Dallas area. And I think
can I say something to you?
Sure, go ahead.
Vina, I'm sorry to interrupt because I know I might forget. So the Obama administration, I'm just happy and ecstatic that the Obama administration is meeting with us next month.
Congrats.
And I'm so happy when I say it, I get chills.
Congratulations.
But, yeah, thank you. So
you're very welcome.
I'm just real happy about that. But one of the things that, as far as the budgets across the country,
uh-huh.
there's a lot of money being put into reentry.
Mm-hmm.
So because they see the need, reentry and the prevention of teenage pregnancy,
mm-hmm.
there's a
mm-hmm.
lot of money into those programs. And that was one of the reasons, because, you know, funding is getting low.
Yes, for
and
sure.
They're cutting a lot of programs, but these two programs have not had hardly any cuts.
Mm-hmm.
So as far as, you know, your program and you, you know, trying to obtain some funding, that may be a good way to go, and it's so rewarding. I love it. Anything that I can do, I will do to assist you. I have so much information about reentry, about resilience in these youth, the youth programs, the prevention of pregnancy, relapse prevention, and those sorts of things. I would be more than happy to share that information with you.
Sounds good. Sounds good. And, you know, I really like the approach and the term that's used, the cognitive restructuring.
Yeah.
And I think that approach is so positive, especially for the youth who, the minute you come in talking about, okay, we need to change your thinking, you're going to get some backlash on that approach. But if it's more in terms of, because I see that there's a slight difference between cognitive restructuring and going in and trying to fix somebody, you know what I mean?
Right.
It's a
Absolutely.
Difference
Absolutely.
On a very subtle level. But I see what part of it is, from what I can tell, is that it must be experiential. You have to replace these negative experiences with positive ones.
Absolutely.
And it has to be hands-on. It has to be not just a lecturer, a program that's outfitted with a lecturer that stands up, or even people who come in as speakers and tell about their experiences. I feel like the approach has to be much more creative, and it has to be much more modern in the sense that give them a garden. You know, I know it sounds crazy, but give them a garden.
No.
Because you will get these experiences where, I know I have witnessed parents who say, man, I didn't know that it could be this relaxing to put my hands in the dirt. I didn't know that it feels, everybody who has ever visited that garden, even though it's just a little scrap of the earth, it's still needing lots of work, has said, all I need is just, I could just get a bench and I could just stay here all night long. It's because there's a certain peace that comes from actually getting your hands in the dirt and putting your hands to anything and accomplishing something and being able to look at it and say, I did that, or
right.
we did that together, and see
That's
how it
right.
came together. And that experience can really have a tremendous impact on your heart and on your mind that
Absolutely.
Lasts and creates a legacy, because then the story is told over and over and over again. And so I definitely love that approach, cognitive restructuring. And I feel a seed growing. I got that itch.
I'm getting ready to interrupt you, educated women, because seriously, because I got to get out of here. Because I got 5 more minutes to go, I'm thinking I want to expand eventually. But would y'all exchange your information? If it's phone numbers, I mean, you know, however you want to do it, or email addresses or whatever, and I can either do one or the other. Get however y'all do it, however you want to do it.
Well,
but
I'll go to your page, the Next Phase page, and I know there's a space where you can write in comments, and I'll just leave my email address.
Okay. Okay.
Up there.
Okay. Okay. Well, Vina, let me tell you. Y'all, please, will you
and
come
I'll
back,
get it from
Vina?
There. Well,
can
I could give
back?
You mine now. Can I
yes,
give her my email
do.
Address?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Let me get a pen.
Okay. That I could send you some information.
Okay.
Vern,
go ahead.
Were you on last week? Because I came on last
week.
No,
I got off late. I didn't get back to the office until 7. So. But we're still on the air right now, but it'll be on archives.
Okay.
So.
It's SMART.
Okay.
The number 2.
Okay.
And then change. smart2change@yahoo.com.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And we're gonna be I get tongue tied when I'm trying to tell you that, but I'm so happy to be I've turned in everything, and I'm getting ready to get out of here in a few weeks.
Okay.
And, but you know, I just got this feeling that you know, so don't worry about the little piece of land. We're gonna do some, hopefully God willing, with God's help, who's ever, however, whatever, you know, we're going to do some things. But may I invite you both back, please, please, please come back.
Sure, sure. Absolutely. I'd love to. And thank you so much for inviting me.
Oh,
I appreciate
please,
that as
no,
well.
No, 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 no. I had to. I mean, I was compelled, as well as Sister Rabia. You both, you're just phenomenal people. And y'all need to get in contact with each other, because this thing
Absolutely.
Is getting ready to happen. It's getting ready
mm-hmm.
to happen. So let me say good night. God bless, and me tell everybody I said hi, and I'll be there sooner or later. And
it was nice meeting you, Sister
home.
Vina. It was
very
my
nice
pleasure.
Meeting you too, Miss. Very nice
and,
meeting you too, Mr. Bia. We'll be in touch for sure.
Absolutely, absolutely. Thank you, host.
Hey. Oh, please stop. It.
I don't know what to call you. I know to call you Black Ice, sir.
Well, she busted me, so I'm out there now. And you know what? When I retire, I don't care what. I mean, it's going to be me. That's who I am. But anyway, let me say thank y'all. God bless you.
Thank
and we
you.
We got to gather up again. And I'll be reminding y'all if I contact you and try to get you back. And well, I'd love to have you both at the same time.
That'd be excellent.
Yeah, sounds good.
All right. God bless. Vina, thank you. Tell everybody hi. God bless them. And we'll be hollering at you, okay?
Thank you.
Okay.
Have a good night, everyone.
Success. Thank you, Sister Rabia. God bless you. And
God bless you, too.
Pop,
thank you.
Tell Papa I said hi, and everybody.
I will. I shall.
All right. I'll be talking with y'all.
All right. Good night.
Thank y'all so much. The next phase is Ice and Friends right here on Blog Talk Radio. Anytime, drop us an email, blakicz.1@gmail.com. Thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time, next week at 7 p.m.